This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, as we welcome you in. Finish that snack, big guy. Looking like a snack, eating a snack as we say hi. Of course, Amal Shaw. I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson. I'll just say this. Hopefully, over the next 3 hours, we will be shown more mercy than the ominous pack of monsters that were following me earlier today. I went for what I thought was a pretty brisk run, and then all of a sudden I heard this pack earlier right by the beach kind of coming down on me. And next thing I know, I turn around and they're yelling, "Get out of the way, old man." And it was a pack of, I don't know, 20 to 25, 10 to 11 boys and girls that absolutely flew by me training for something. And I felt old, I felt tired, and I felt whack, as we say hi. So hopefully mercy is shown over the next 3 hours that the kids did not show me today, boys. How are we feeling?
Feeling good. They're probably getting ready for cross country season, I'm assuming. Good place
it's
to train.
Exactly what it was.
Getting ready to train.
I don't know. I don't know how they were moving at this clip and this pace, but they were absolutely flying, boys and girls. Good for you. I'm all nailed it. They had cross country shirts on. Big guy, I didn't see you in the mix.
Well, one, that was never me. But two, when you're a child of that age, you have the energy to do anything. Like, after that, they went on with their day, and they did a million other physical activities. Like, I do that, we're out for the count, day is over, we are laying on the couch until the next day.
I'm right there with you. All right, we got a packed show. Here's what we're going to do. Four teams each day, Sharp Money, college football. We've got a theme today. Quarterbacks with promise. What about the teams? Tennessee, of course, Milton, Oregon State, South Carolina, DJ, of course, Spencer Rattler, and the North Carolina and Drake May. I had a lot of fun combing through these four teams today. We'll get to those coming up in just a little bit. Also joining us here on Sharp Money, Nate Tice. Yes, he is the son of, and he'll join us, the Athletic NFL analyst, does a great job. Dustin loves his kid. He's going to be joining us coming up in just about 28 minutes talking NFL. Tim Jenkins, also NFL. If you haven't heard Tim Jenkins, he is a former quarterback that trains quarterbacks. He's awesome. We'll talk to him, film analyst as well. Colton Bartholomew is going to join us because we had such a great conversation yesterday about Wisconsin and the Badgers. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, very high on whiskey this year. So Colton will join from the Badgers Extra in the Wisconsin State Journal. And then, of course, it's Wednesday here on Sharp Money. So Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper, stops by Doc Sports to join the show as we open it up today. I'm not sure. I know for a fact Amal Shaw didn't see it. Dustin Sweetelson, did you watch the Manziel documentary? I saw a lot of people on social popping off about that. The Manziel documentary, which dropped yesterday on Netflix, my assumption is you did consume.
I did. I watched the Manziel doc, and I got to tell you, it was pretty good. It wasn't like the next, you know, ESPN, the U 30 for 30, but it was an enjoyable experience. There were a few tidbits that I didn't realize. Like, did you guys know this? Remember Manziel's pro day where he's wearing the camouflage and everyone's like,
and he was bumping Drake?
It's the greatest pro day of all time. A ball never touched the ground.
Yes.
He got drunk and partied with his receivers the night before, and the receivers no-showed. He was throwing passes to his agent and a couple other just random people he knew that day. Those weren't legit receivers. They were literally just dudes.
And he had the visor on, maybe because he was hungover. But remember, he had the darkened visor on the helmet as well, and he was bumping Drake. He is such a freaking clown. And the fact that you brought that up, and it makes me remember, nerd. What else did you learn?
Well, I do think he's grown since then. I think judging, like,
I hope so.
21
he's
year
30.
Old. Yeah. I think, like, that's who he was, and I think he's very aware of the demons that went on there. And some. So here's another random thing that popped up. The Browns called his agent. They're like, "Hey, he's not watching any film. We got to get him doing homework." And the agent's like, "Come on, he's watching some film. You can't say he's not watching any." They said, "No, we can record how much time he spends on his iPad. He logged 0.0 hours last week."
0.0. I saw that clip pop up. So everybody, all teams distribute iPads, and they can monitor what you're up to. And Manziel literally didn't clock a second of study time, which is, you know, typical of a dude that's that age that obviously had a drug addiction. So is there anything else? I mean, sometimes Netflix can be a little, leave you with empty calories with their documentaries. They just want to get it out there and get the headlines. So is there anything deeper?
No, it's a solid watch. I think one thing that really jumps out is that the NCAA was obsessed with following him and his friends when they were doing their little autograph scheme where he was signing a bunch of stuff and they were selling it and he was making money and he wasn't supposed to make money off of his likeness, which we now know is a totally different world now. But apparently the NCAA was following like every move they were making and trying to find a misstep. And for a bunch of 20-something-year-old kids, they were pretty good at cleaning things up along the way.
Okay, so you walked away from the Manziel documentary liking him more or liking him less?
I think my heart hurt for him more. Just because it didn't just come out of nowhere for us. It kind of came out of nowhere for him. Like, he was a really good football player. That's how you end up at an SEC school like Texas A&M. But it was like a confluence of a bunch of different things. Like, A&M into the SEC first year, I think, that year. Him exploding on the scene. Cliff Kingsbury happens to be the coordinator. They have a bunch of first-round picks like Mike Evans on the – like, a lot of things had to happen for Johnny Football to become Johnny Football, and it all just did.
Can we think of a comp this year, boys, of Manziel? Can we think of a comp since Manziel played college football of Manziel? Or is he one of his own, Amal Shaw?
In terms of just ability and mobility, I think there are a lot of guys nowadays. I mean, Sam Hartman doesn't run like him, but he can throw the ball. He's got good mobility, can pick up yardage with his feet when necessary. Lamar Jackson was a far better runner, but I think there are guys that have come along that are comparable in terms of their capabilities and abilities. And I look at it nowadays, you really need a dual threat at the quarterback position.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, well, there is your – I knew it as we said goodbye last night on the show that Dustin Sweetelson would consume. I wanted to get a review because maybe I'll watch, but after that lukewarm review, I absolutely won't watch.
No, I think I think it's well done. You should watch it, but I wouldn't like I wouldn't watch something you're looking forward to over it.
Why would I watch that when I could watch a Philadelphia Story with Cary Grant? And what else am I get? Like, why would you watch something when you have classic film waiting for you at the touch of your finger? Come on, Dustin Sweetelson. Let me ask you both a question, and I want to get into what's underneath this question. And that is, what do you both independently think of the Washington Commanders this year? First off, it's the last year we're going to have to say Commanders. The Harris Group has bought the former Redskins, former Washington football team, now Commanders. Next year will be a complete rebrand. Will there be a new head coach? We are waiting to see. I can tell you right now, the Commanders in the market, Amal Shah, are sitting 6.5. The under favored a bit at -120 over at DraftKings. But let's go overview. Obviously, early signs out of camp, no surprise here. The defense well ahead of the offense. You've got Sam Howell, who started one game last year, threw 18 passes. So obviously that is a loaded defense. There's a lot of skill on offense. I told you the number is 6.5, but why don't you just start by giving me an overview on your take on the Commanders?
Boy, when you look at the skill positions with this team, the big question mark is that quarterback. You mentioned Sam Howell, Jacoby Brissett, a backup, and then Jake Fromm on this roster. Nobody that anyone's enamored with in terms of being a long-term starter unless Sam Howell emerges and turns into that guy. I like Brian Robinson a lot at the tailback position. You've got a backup in Antonio Gibson, who's solid. Receivers I like a lot here. Terry McLaurin, you've got obviously Jahan Dotson. This is a good nucleus, and then, of course, Curtis Samuel as well. So I think their 1, 2, and 3 is very good. Can they get the consistency out of the offensive line? Logan Thomas, the converted Virginia Tech quarterback at the tight end, has done a nice job for them. But to me, Patrick, I think defensively this team can be good. I think it really comes down to quarterback play, and I know we say that about a lot of teams, but Washington has to be in that top 3 or 4 when you look at the one deficiency that's clear as day is quarterback. Everywhere else, they seem like they could be a potential playoff team.
Yeah, I'm all up front. If you think about the Alabama boys inside, Payne and Allen, Sweat, and then Chase Young, they could be special. The linebackers got better last year. They drafted Forbes out of Mississippi State. He's a ball hawk, somebody that's going to turn you over. They needed help at the cornerback position. The defense should be very good. Del Rio turned that unit around last year, played very, very solid ball. Turner out, Bieniemy in. I'll get to that, a bit of a tease, but big guy, your take. 6.5 does feel a little light to me. Division odds 16-1 in a topsy-turvy division for the most part. feels like a nice little chunk on the Commanders. Your take?
I think the defense is good enough to keep them in games. Like I really love the defense. I think all aspects of it is great. I know everyone talks about that line, but I think the linebacking core is solid. I like the pieces they've added to the secondary. They added Emmanuel Forbes in the first round. And the offense has, like, really solid weapons across the board. McLaren's really good. I don't think he's as great as everyone makes him out to be. He's good. He's good.
He's never played with a quarterback.
Okay. I'm just saying he's good. He's fine. Everyone just, like, creams all over this guy. He's fine. He's a good receiver. He's not a superstar yet. Sam Howell looks
that
like
snap okay. I love them all jumping in, and the snap of an okay was almost like you saw it coming, Dustin Sweet.
He's continue. Like Giselle over here. Like, my husband can't throw and catch the ball. Like, we get it. We understand how we're rating the receiver. Sam Howell, he's got some skills. Gosh. He's got, like, tools. He's got tools that I think make up an NFL quarterback. I just don't know either way, good or bad, if he can actually do it. But ultimately, this whole team comes down to the fact that they have the most mid-head coach of his generation in Ron Rivera. He's so mid that when you make the list of mid-head coaches, he is in the mid of the mid-list.
I think that two good breakdowns of the Commanders. I agree with everything you both said. By the way, they did add Jacoby Brissett, who is, I don't know if you want to call him mid. He's up in that upper tier of backups to back up Howell. But Howell is number one on the depth chart. That is who the Commanders want to be the starter moving forward. And as you know, we're going to talk about Drake May, another North Carolina product, Amal Shaw. And we'll come back and get to the real drama surrounding the Washington Commanders after the break. But as you know, Sam Howell, he was hype after his first year, down second year because he lost talent there at North Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely right. It'll be interesting to see how he's able to perform. He's got the talent around him. Can he deliver the football, and can the offensive line hold up?
He really does have skill. The issue with the Commanders is there's beef with the head coach and the offensive coordinator who got there 10 minutes ago. That's next.
Is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, join DraftKings' largest best ball contest ever before it expires. And big guy, if you have the best ball read in front of you, could you pick it up from here? Because I don't see it in your notes you sent me today, so I'm going to go ahead and try to find. But if you want to join in with me, I'll tell you this. I know you're eating, both of you. I don't. Is there a buffet in the studio today? Both of you got.
I literally just had to spit out a cracker. I had to spit out
every time I turn around. You're both shoveling food into your gullets and making me jelly. I'll say this: there's $10 million in prizes up this year over at DraftKings and Best Ball. Did I lie, Dustin Sweetelson?
No, and in fact, want to get in on the fantasy action, but sick of managing your roster, sick of player injuries, ending your season? With Best Ball and DraftKings, you get the best of your team all season long this year. Best Ball and DraftKings is bigger than ever with $10 million in guaranteed cash prizes up for grabs. For a limited time, you can join DraftKings' largest best ball contest ever and get your first entry back in DraftKings dollars as soon as the draft is finished. Act now before this offer expires.
Great job. Thank you very much. Doritos? What are we eating? Now I'm curious.
It's like a flax. I was eating like a flax seed cracker.
Oh, delicious. From Starbucks, no doubt.
Yeah, but not really delicious. Kind of dry, and I think some of it's on the floor over here.
Amal Shaw, if we're not discussing the temperature, we're generally discussing that you're famished by the end of the show, so it looks like you're proactive today. What are we munching on?
Mr. Goodbar.
Yeah, that's not, you know what? I'll take the good bar over the cracker. Okay, we got you back here. Sharp Money, we're having some fun. Of course, I'm Al Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Got a packed show. Great job booking yesterday. We had so much fun with Smoltz and the crew. Yeah.
Real please, quick, a friend of mine said, great job by you, because obviously you're a Michigan guy, and with Smoltz, they loved it. I mean, to get a player of his caliber, and it was just great. And their compliment was, hey, you could see Patrick's passion for a guy that came from his area. And I think I talked to you and Dustin about this. The one thing that I appreciate, and I talked to a lot of friends of mine about this who are fans of their team, right? I follow Ohio State, but it's not life or death for me like it was 20 years ago. So I don't really have any team. And I always wish that I still had a team that I rooted for that is important. Like the way Smoltz talked about the Lions getting to the playoffs, he's not alone in that. You saw that with Bradley Cooper when the Eagles made the Super Bowl. There are so many many fans of teams. Like, I grew up in Cleveland. The Browns have never been to a Super Bowl. I can tell you right now, I don't want to speak for friends of mine. Their wives would kill them, but they would be willing to give up one of their children to get to a Super Bowl before we die.
Well, thank you very much to your friends. We had such a good time having the conversation. What's funny about that is Smoltz said, I'm 56 years old, and I've seen the Lions win one playoff game. Yeah. It just so happens the Lions won one playoff game. The last playoff game was 1957, and Smoltz is 56. So it gives you an idea, kind of contextualizes exactly what Lions fans. And again, I think it's one of those things wherever you grew up, you have this like provincial longing, and he's from the greater Detroit area. I am as well. So certainly a connection for me, and I appreciate the booking from Dustin Sweetelson. Speaking of bookings, Nate Tice, Mike Tice's son, is going to join us. He does a great job. I shouldn't even introduce him as Mike Tice's son because Nate has carved out a great lane for himself talking about the NFL over at The Athletic. He's coming up in just a bit. Tim Jenkins, quarterback guru. Colton Bartholomew, Badgers. We're talking Wisconsin, and Scott Spreitzer will join as well. So we talked about the Commanders. First off, I didn't ask you guys. It does feel like the 6.5 feel a tad light. I do feel like this is a 7-win team. I'll just start there because it is juiced up on the under. You can take a look at the schedule if you want. But if I forced you to snap call on the 6.5 in the Commanders, which way would you two go?
I'd go over, and I agree with you. I thought the number was going to be 7. I think team, when you look at it overall, defensively still very good. You know, Montez Sweat to me is a guy that's been underrated for a long time. He does a great job. You mentioned the Alabama boys, Allen and Payne up front. By the way, has there ever been a player in the history of the NFL that is better than Chase Young at arriving at a sack after it's occurred just to look like he's arriving? I mean, he's part of the play.
Yes, Bruce Smith, when he joined the Redskins at the time from the Bills, end of his career, jumping on piles Smith. Well, however, Chase Young has taken the mantle and jumped on it as well. No pun intended. Dustin Sweetelson, 6.5. I got this team at 7.
Man, the schedule is tough, though. You know, you still have to play everyone in the NFC East. That's always a battle for them. I know they start with Arizona, but Denver should be improved. They have the Bears, who should be improved. For some reason, everyone I hear opening their mouths loves Atlanta, and they have to go to Atlanta. So let's assume I'm wrong about Desmond Ridder and everyone else is right. That's a tough one. Like, they go to New England, to Seattle. They have Miami on the schedule. Like, it's a tough schedule. I like them because I think they'll play hard. They're a unique team because they're still building for the future, but they're not tanking. Like, and they have a lot of pieces that make sense. I want to lean over, but the schedule's tough, man. They have the Jets. They have the Niners. Like, I might go under.
Won 8 games last year. Now, here's the thing. The Washington Commanders are coached by Ron Rivera. Of course, Snyder is gone. The Harris group is in, so new management. And this is desperation season. Outside of Cam, prime years of Amal Shaw, here is Ron Rivera. 6-10, 7-9, 6-10, 7-9, 5-7, 7-9, 7-10, 8-8-1. He is, as Dustin said, mid. He's also scrapping for his job. And why do I know this? They brought over Eric Bieniemy. Now, Bieniemy was in Kansas City for 4 or 5 years with Andy Reid. Andy Reid couldn't wait to get Bieniemy out the door. There's something with Bieniemy. Interviewing for these head coaching positions, it never goes right. So kind of a dubious spot for Bieniemy because Amal, he's jumping away from Mahomes, potentially the greatest of all time, to Sam Howell, who's got one start under his belt, to prove himself that he can eventually be a head coach. Precarious spot. Also, Ron Rivera. So, Bieniemy, who is boisterous, he's loud, he's commanding, and he's demanding of his players, is just like that in camp. And all of a sudden, somebody goes to Ron Rivera and says, he's working us too hard. Rivera, out of nowhere, goes to the media and says, yeah, just letting you guys know, somebody came to me and complained about Bieniemy. Wait, what? We haven't played a game yet in this desperate season for the Commanders, and Rivera is throwing his new offensive coordinator that he hired under the bus. Odd luck, Amal.
There's no question about it. And I actually think this is a two-hand shove in front of the bus. I mean, this is ridiculous to come out in front of the press right now and say, we have an issue with our OC. I mean, just think about that. You brought up a great point. We haven't even played a preseason game outside of the Hall of Fame game with the Browns and the Jets. It's a real difficult situation that the Commanders are in. In terms of Bieniemy taking this job, Patrick, I equate it to, and I'm sure there's people out there listening that work in sales. You want to take over a territory that's at the bottom. So if anything is successful, the credit's going to go to you. And I think that that's where Bieniemy comes in. If he can get Sam Howell and this offense going in the right direction, you mentioned 8-8-1 last year. If this team can go in the right direction, then there's an opportunity for him to potentially land into a head coaching job. But in terms of Ron Rivera, I think the writing is on the wall. You broke down his record. I disagree with you guys suggesting or implying he's mid. This guy is bottom tier. The fact that he has still managed to be a head coach in the NFL is mind-boggling. He must be the greatest guy of all time. He must be as good of a person as Dick Vermeil is.
He is. Here was Bieniemy's reaction to Rivera, his head coach, going to the media.
My job is to be a very observant. I got to know the people that I'm discussing and working with. So my job is to address. If there's something that they may have an issue with, please, let's discuss this. Here's the reason why I felt a certain way. Here's why I said it. Now, okay, I put it back on the player. And you got to understand, we're in a grown man's business. We're in a grown man's world. My job is to make sure that I'm doing the best possible job of over-communicating clarity. I take a tremendous amount of pride in that. They also know when I'm getting on them, ain't nothing personal. What's personal is that I want us to win. I expect that particular player to be great at all times. I expect the effort to be a standard that's accepted by all of us. So when you're not reaching that, it's my job to address it. So sometimes they may like the highlights and the praise, but sometimes they may not like it. And I'm perfectly fine with that because that's my job. Because if I ain't doing my job, my ass get fired.
Not sure about you two. For a guy that supposedly doesn't interview well, I was super impressed with that clip, and I liked it. Now, bad hosting by me because we're backed up to a break. Let me just, since that comment from Bieniemy, what transpired today was horrific optics, Amal. Ron Rivera held a press conference in camp with a prepared statement to talk about why he shouldn't have thrown his OC under the bus, came out and said, and he was reading, he had the statement in his commander's hat, which was awkward, came out and said, yeah, that got misconstrued, shouldn't have done that. You know, players and coaches disagree. What an S show. Like, to be fair, we're going to get to Tice, but just quickly on that, what an S show. He has to come out and give a prepared statement after his offensive coordinator says, yeah, I'm going to work these guys' asses off.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and you're absolutely right. Way Bieniemy appeared in this interview, he was fantastic. I don't know what the reason he hasn't gotten an opportunity remains to be seen, but I loved his response. The only thing I wish he would have said, it's one of my favorite lines, the standard is the standard. But he laid it out there. This is the NFL, and if he doesn't do the right job, he's eventually going to be out of a job. So I love everything he said. And by the way, we realize we've got some commanders. They're probably not as tough as you want on your roster if you're going to win.
We'll play the Rivera comments in a bit. Why not go off the cuff? Why do you need a prepared statement to defend the dude you just hired? Here's the good news, Commanders fans. 17 more games of Rivera and 17 more games of the Commanders. When we return, Nate Tice.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, football is ready to kick off, and VSiN has everything you need to make this a successful season. Our college football betting guide features best bets from writers and on-air personalities, along with team previews of all 133 FBS teams. Our NFL betting guide, which dropped earlier, will help you tackle the upcoming NFL season. In-depth profiles on every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends. Plus, best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19. You can sign up vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back here. I'm Mal Shaw. I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson. This is Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. Thrilled to talk to Nate Tice. Does a hell of a job over the Athletic, NFL analyst. You can find Nate on Twitter at Nate_Tice, of course, quarterback, UCF, Wisconsin, assistant in the NFL. And he joins us. First off, Nate, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you. We were talking Bieniemy and Rivera. So let's go away from the drama and talk about the product on the field. The win total set at 6.5 for the Commanders. This is a team that won 8 games last year. The defense is rock solid, skill position solid on offense. The question, though, of course, the quarterback and Howell.
Yeah, and that's kind of where your answer, that's why the answer of the total is about six games, which is pretty surprising. We just did a top 10 defenses pod, and I know we're going to talk about how, but I had the Commanders as my third best defense going into the season.
Wow.
It's a truly fantastic, truly potential to be elite unit, especially with their first round pick. They added their corner, which shored up kind of like one of their weaknesses, but built through the spine and a fantastic defensive line is usually going to keep you in a lot of games. And they're playing, you know, they're in the NFC East. The NFC overall is not a powerhouse this year. There's only a true like couple elite teams. They happen to both be in the NFC East, which kind of hinders that. But with Hal, it's kind of just hold on. I think you can't really buy too much into it. They at least have Jacoby Brissett on that team, which makes me optimistic that if he does have to take the reins, they can hit the over for that, actually, if we want to talk the gambling line. Because I think that defense is going to keep them in so many games outside their division. They also play kind of the third or fourth ranked schedule, which I think will help throughout this year because there's not a lot of heavyweight teams in the NFC. So I think even if Brissett takes over or if it is Hal, they have enough talent and hopefully some health with their offensive line to at least hit that over number than 6.5, because I just think the defense will just carry them throughout 17 weeks.
Nate, I want to ask you, I love that you ranked them third overall. Tell me what it is on the defense side of the ball, what you like about this defense. You mentioned Forbes coming in. I love him out of Mississippi State. He may score more touchdowns than Jahan Dotson this year.
I know. He just has a nose for the ball. Yeah. It's funny. When I went in to watch him, he's built like Kevin Durant. You know, he's like a buck 65, maybe, probably after the shower with two towels on. The honestly, that defensive line is why I love him. And I mean, it's not really surprising if you just look at the roster and you see first round pick. And their fourth best pass rusher is the guy that won Defensive Rookie of the Year and was the number two overall pick in Chase Young. And he's their, I would consider after what he showed last year coming back, is Montez Sweat had a great year. Jonathan Allen and Damon Payne are a fantastic defensive tackle duo. So you just drop in Chase Young, hopefully he plays 80% of what his potential could be. And that's why I love this defense, is because I think they can bring it all three downs, get after the quarterback, and they play the run really well. This defense was first in success rate last year. First, like no caveats, no disclaimers. First overall defense by success rate. That means they stay keep offenses behind the chains over and over. So that's what it starts with the front. And that's what makes me excited about that defense.
Nate Tice, The Athletic, at Nate_Tice. And I bring up the Twitter handle because you posted a few clips last week from the Falcons offense. So let's shift to the Atlanta Falcons, Nate. 8.5 to win total. Expectations are there. We had Wes Durham, the voice of the Falcons, on last week, and he was going on and on about Arthur Smith. Love Smith. We don't know anything about Smith because he's kind of a nondescript, quiet guy, but the offense is very interesting. Why don't you elaborate?
A term I came across with someone else that broke down the Falcons. I've been super optimistic about them. I'm a sicko that watched them last year just because I was curious what they're doing. They were an island of misfit toys, but it's credit to Arthur Smith is that he is kind of an offensive savant as far as being creative in the run game and formations and personnel groupings. This Falcons offense last year ranked highly in like five different personnel groupings, meaning they used, you know, three wide receivers, which everyone uses, but then they use a fullback, then they use three tight ends, two tight ends. They change up their looks and they make it really a pain for defenses. And they were a dang good offense last year. They ended up ranking about 10th, 12th, 8th, and various, you know, underlying metrics. And that made me, and that's starting with Marcus Mariota, who couldn't hit the broad side of the barn. But a term that I really liked with this offense was alignment agnostic, meaning that they are going to have a kind of a positionless offense. And that's what the Bijan Robinson draft pick was about, because he's a fantastic catcher that can split outside. So they can get all these now groupings with Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Mac Hollins, who just they signed from the Raiders, who's a big bot tight end, Jonnu Smith, who Arthur Smith had with when he was in Tennessee. So you just get all these guys together and they can line them up throughout the formation. And they're playing a weak schedule. I have an alternate line bet on them at 9.5 games, I think, actually at Circa. So I bumped it up just to get a little more juice, because the line is up, which has been really annoying for me, because I think it was originally, 7.5 games, and then they bumped it up all the way to 8.5. Maybe it was at 8. I'm trying to remember correctly, but I got the alternate line wins because I'm very optimistic about this offense. I think it could be a top 10 unit, even if Dez is quarterback. because if he's at that level, I think the defense has to get better with their investments. They spent a lot of free agency money there. So just overall, it's just a really creative offense. And I think an excellent offensive play caller and play designer, better offense overall, better offense. Their offensive line's great. So I think a little bit of health luck, this is going to be a top 10 offense and an average-ish defense. It has me pretty excited about the Falcons this year. So I'm going to be watching them week in, week out. They're kind of my hipster favorite that's might be going mainstream a little bit. So that's how I'm right now.
Nate, love your breakdown of the offense. There's not a bigger Bijan Robinson fan out there than me. But when I look at Desmond Ridder, he's the best bounce passer at UC since Nick Van Exel. Explain to me why this guy is going to be good at quarterback. Arthur Smith, you said something that's absolutely so accurate. He is an incredible offensive mind, but it's Desmond Ridder that is the same issue Washington, the quarterback position, where I have a concern.
I think the two things, even if he does spray the ball a little bit, I would admit that I was a fan of Ridder coming out of the draft, that kind of a weaker draft class of 2022, is he's extremely intelligent. He is already was handling protection checks and kills and audibles, doing all those types of things that you usually give to quarterbacks in year two and beyond once they kind of get their feet wet. He was handling that last preseason. And why that matters is this offense on first and second down, it's not going to fool anybody that they're going to be running the ball and running play action, which kind of lifts its training wheels for the quarterback. So even if you have an average-ish quarterback, that can at least make them look decent. So that's why on first and second down, they have an answer. And then his brain and his legs, he's a legit 4-5 guy. That makes me excited about their third down offense, that they can at least be decent. So I just think that's why I'm optimistic about Ridder, is he just handles all the difficult stuff that he might get thrown at him. They were one of the most pressured teams last year, meaning most blitz teams. So if he gets the offensive line sorted out, they're a pretty talented unit, get going the right direction. They can have explosive plays on third and fourth down that maybe they didn't have before because Mariota wasn't asked to handle those types of things. So I think that's his brain and his legs makes me excited that his floor will be pretty high. If he's a little bit better than Mariota throwing the ball, that's where I see that 18th best quarterback possibly. And maybe that's why I'm optimistic about the offense.
Are you optimistic in division? The Saints are your favorites at plus 120. The Falcons, your second betting favorite at plus 215. Do you like them in division, Nate?
I do. I do. Long story short, I think it's a better number to have. I think that number was at plus 300 a little bit ago. So it's been bet down, like hovering around that number. So I am optimistic about them in that division. I think it's a weaker them and the Saints, I believe, have some of the weakest strengths of schedules that they're going against, weakest schedule. So I think that's why they can hang with them. And I think that the arrows are pointing up for their young guys. So maybe they overtake the Saints if they don't have some health like they have in the past.
Patrick, I'm just flabbergasted. Not at this pick of the Falcons. He's just made a compelling argument, and I hate being wrong. I just didn't see it with this team, but they've got the pieces offensively, and I think he makes a great point in terms of what they can be.
Well, it's watch out for the Heinicke hive. This Taylor Heinicke, wherever he goes, Ridder should be worried, Nate, because everybody becomes obsessed with Heinicke, who throws the YOLO balls up in the air.
I have never given another quarterback comparison for Heinicke, like, oh, he plays like this guy. I've compared him to Johnny Knoxville because that's kind of just – he's a jackass member playing quarterback. That's Taylor Heinicke. And I mean that as a compliment.
That is the quote of the show. Nate Tice, The Athletic, at Nate_Tice. Make sure you give him a follow. Great stuff on the numbers as well. We'll get you on during the regular season, Nate. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you guys for having me. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Okay. Nate Tice, Johnny Knoxville compared Taylor Heinicke. I love it. I will say he does have them all. Heinicke's got like this cult of personality where his teammates love him. The fans love him. There's just something about he was throwing those YOLO balls to McLaurin and McLaurin was coming down with them out of nowhere.
But he's mid, as Dustin would say. But
he is beyond. His arm is well below mid. We're back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's football season, and bettors know that this is when the money is made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now is the time to become a VSiN subscriber and get our comprehensive college and NFL guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles on every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up today for $199. You'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. You can join us for $19 a month and see everything VSiN has to offer to up your game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Here's what I'll say about Nate Tice, who does live in Vegas. I could see, boys, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. I could see Nate joining us in studio throughout the season, because when we give him a number and I say in division, Atlanta's 215, and he said I had him at 3-1, when somebody's correcting the market on you, let me explain something. That's a person that likes to dabble. You guys understand what I'm trying to tell you? Without anything in front of them, too.
I would like to change the word dabble to something else, but let's please proceed.
Yeah, he likes to. And Dustin, I know you've had an open discourse with him. Let him know. We'd love to have him in studio. Nate Tice, you were going to ask him as well. He played quarterback at Wisconsin. Yeah. You were going to ask him about Fickell, and he let us know. I don't think I'm saying anything in private. He had a good relationship with Chris, and it did seem as well. He loves Paul Chris, but he said excited about what Fickell has to offer at Wisconsin as well. We're going to have a guest on talking Wisconsin in 45 minutes because we're all three of us are very high on this team.
Yeah, I mentioned this yesterday. I mentioned it even last week. I think Wisconsin season win total at 8.5, guys, is the best over bet I've seen in a while. Look, Georgia, if you can get it 11, is probably the best bet in college football over under, regardless of anything else. If it's 11.5, not quite as good. I just don't see Whiskey having four losses on the schedule.
Can I give you another one? 8.5. A team, as you dig in, boys, we've got four we're going to break down today. I'm going to start with an interesting one, and that is Oregon State. Dig in. That offensive line is dumb. DJ, the running game. Now, I'm not an Ui Ungalalele fan, as I know you're on the same wavelength as I am, Amal Shaw, but let's go through this. There are three losses last year, USC, Washington, and Utah. Nothing to be embarrassed about. This is year six for Jonathan Smith, the former quarterback there. He was 10-3 last year, 6-3 in the Pac-12. That was the third 10-plus win season in history of 105 years at Oregon State. What am I trying to tell you? Not exactly a powerhouse in Corvallis when it comes to college football. Have you seen the dump they play in? In other words, for Jonathan Smith, it's working. Like, there's passion. There's a sense of kinship, of familiarity. He wants to win there. He wants to be there. That's good. And it's not like they're running some sort of wide open air raid. This team was built on toughness and defense. They led the Pac-12 in overall defense. They had a great offensive line. They can run the ball. They've got great backs. You know this, Amal, with Martinez and Fenwick and Griffin. Like, this is, we'll get to the defense, but go ahead and run with it. You can talk about the quarterback and also what Jonathan Smith has done there, kind of setting a culture.
Yeah, real quick, I want to start with this offensive line. This thing is an elite offensive line. I would make the argument maybe Georgia or Michigan might have a better offensive line than them, but these guys are absolutely loaded. They're going to be a tough team to get really past, to get to the quarterback. Grant Stark comes in from Nevada for this O-line. He'll help them, only to add to what we already seen with them. One other key transfer in this one is Calvin Hart from Illinois at the linebacker position. But you mentioned DJ Uiagalelei. I love Deshaun Fenwick. I thought he was a tremendous tailback for them last year. This is a team that people don't realize, Patrick, a couple of things. They only gave up 20 points per game. That's an impressive number in this conference. Average 32 on the offensive side of the ball. DJ Uiagalelei, he's got some good mobility, tough to tackle because of his size. If he can just be a little bit more accurate, I think this team's got a chance to be really dangerous. And guys, if you recall the USC game, that was probably one, if you ask Jonathan Smith, his team let get away. That was a game that they could have and should have won. So they're not that far away. And I know we talked about Washington, USC, Utah, maybe Oregon. But I think Oregon State, if you're looking for a team that could be a potential dark horse to win a conference in the Power Five, that maybe is an outside shot looking at longer odds, this team is extremely dangerous. Remember, I know they don't call it the Civil War anymore. I don't care. That game is going to be in Eugene. That'll be a tough matchup, but it could be potentially the last time to play the Ducks for a long time. So that'll be a big game. This team would be ready for that. They've got a schedule that's not going to be easy. They do have Utah at home, But they don't play the Trojans. That will help them a lot. I think this team's in a position to make another run of double-digit wins.
No USC, Amal Shah on the schedule. They got Washington, UCLA, and as you mentioned, Utah at home. Big guy, Amal, what I like about this team is the recipe. Okay, great offensive line, as Amal just highlighted. Tremendous running backs. They go deep with the stable of backs. We'll get to the quarterback in a second. The best in the Pac-12, that was the defense. Five of the top seven tacklers return. Number one in the nation in red zone defense. The best against the run in their own league defensively. Safeties are vets, maybe some corners that are green, but it's a defense that returns starters, a defense that should be good, maybe not as good as last year. Amal, the recipe is there for a 9-10 win, and again, they're 11-1 in conference, as you mentioned, potentially a sleeper for Oregon State. But there's a big question, and we haven't discussed it. Every time I watch DJ at Clemson, I was underwhelmed.
Well, I would agree with you. So many times players get hyped up because of where they played or how they played in high school, and then they go to an elite program like Clemson, and they get a lot of credit for something that they may not have accomplished on the field. And I think that was the case with DJ Uiagalelei. I think he's got an opportunity to still be a very good quarterback. And if he plays to what his potential ceiling is, Patrick, this team could legitimately win the Pac-12. I'm telling you right now, maybe you guys aren't as high on him. I love Deshaun Fenwick. Watching him play last year, I was like, yo, this guy is an absolute dude. Him and Damian Martinez, these guys absolutely can ball out. I know Martinez had a 1,000-yard season, but I was more of a Fenwick fan. He's the guy I would have gone with. They have great ball control. They were in the top three in the league in terms of time of possession, 32 minutes per game. Here's another stat that jumped out to me, Patrick. They scored 56 touchdowns last year. They only gave up 31 in 13 games. You're averaging just under 2.5 touchdowns per game yielded. And I said the 20 points per game. You're going to win a ton of football games. And guys, for my money, I don't know, you guys probably won't sign off on this. I know Dustin won't because he loves Kalen DeBoer. But I could make the argument that Jonathan Smith is the second best coach in the Pac-12. Kyle Whittingham is number one in my book.
Anthony Gould as well, the wide receiver, a big play threat for DJ. I don't disagree with you about Jonathan Smith. I think the interesting trivia, big guy, is the last time they won 10 games, he was the quarterback in Corvallis. It's a special situation happening as the Pac-12 disintegrates, but pretty cool. We haven't seen Oregon State. Remember Riley back in the day at State actually won a few games, but it's been a disaster. Anderson left Wisconsin, I believe it was, to go to Oregon State. He was a freaking disaster and a weird guy on top of it. Jonathan Smith deserves to be there. He's done a great job, big guy.
Yeah, futures-wise, I don't have a good read just because of the quarterback position, but this is a team week in and week out during the college football season since Jonathan Smith got there that I've been betting on, especially when they're, you know, a dog of, like, let's say 8 points or greater. Just, it's a team that battles. They're super physical. They win at the line of scrimmage, and I just trust that they're prepared week in and week out to go up against a lot of teams in their own conference that have superior talent to them. Like, I know that they're gonna give their best to those teams. The big question we keep dancing around is DJ. I'm not even gonna try to say the last name because I always botch it. The thing that's frustrating, I don't know about for you guys, but the thing that frustrates me most about him is that when we first saw him burst on the scene, Notre Dame game, throws for 400 yards, big spot as a freshman, 4- or 5-star recruit to Clemson. He looks like a dude. Ever since jumping in and filling in back in, I guess it was 2020, he's been super tentative. Like, he just doesn't pull the trigger. He's not aggressive. Like, he looks like he's scared to lose, but also scared to win. Like, he's not making big plays when they matter. But the thing is, it's all there. All the skills are there. The arm is there. The legs are there. The accuracies are. I think he can put it together. My hope is Jonathan Smith, a former quarterback, can elevate his game and coach him up to be that guy. Because let's be real. Dabo Swinney recruited great quarterbacks. He didn't build Deshaun Watson. He didn't build Trevor Lawrence. And he gave up on Kelly Bryant, by the way, when he wasn't a superstar out of the gate.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. DJ, I'll give you a quick NFL comparison. Jacoby Brissett. In terms of waiting for guys to get open, he doesn't throw guys open. That's the difference between DJ Uiagalelei and the elite quarterbacks. He doesn't throw guys open. But I think this team is going to be pretty dangerous, especially if they get off to a good start. When you look at the tailback position, they are loaded, and they've got that running game back. So they're going to be a really dangerous team. Last year, I said DJ Uiagalelei would not be the starter halfway through the season.
Stop showing off.
Well, hold on a second. I'm going to tell you right now, Jonathan Smith, if this team does not wind up in a proper conference, this will be his last season in Corvallis and at Research Stadium.
The Uiagalelei family is watching Sharp Money right now and saying, Amal Shaw, could you repeat that? Because that was good.
just showing off in front of us.
Quarterbacks we have questions about today, two of them, Orange County, Joe Milton, Uiagalelei. I mean, this is a factory here. We're going to get to him. We're also going to talk about Drake May, I believe North Carolina, and Spencer Rattler, I think Arizona.
Yep, correct.
Could be wrong.
Correct.
Okay. Great breakdown on Oregon State. It's a team. I agree with both of you. You can run the ball with a great offensive line and a really good defense. It's a good recipe. Tim Jenkins is next.